Look with me at Luke chapter 15, if you'll go ahead and turn there. Let me say how excited I am to be here this morning. I love your pastor. Brother Jerry is the man in our association, and it is a pleasure for me to be able to fill in once in a while when he takes a break. Amen? A well-deserved break. Luke chapter 15. We're going to look at the prodigal son this morning. Tonight, we're going to look at the prodigal son's brother. You are one of those two men, all right? You're either the older brother or the younger brother. Everybody falls in one of those two categories. So if I don't get you this morning, come back. It'll be a good time tonight. So the Bible says some interesting things. This is the lost chapter in Luke, and by that I mean Jesus talks about the lost sheep, right? He says there's a man's got 100 sheep, 99 of them are accounted for, one's lost, what's he do? Have y'all been in church for a while? What's he do? He leaves the 99, he goes, hunts down to one, all right? Then there's a woman, she has 10 coins, she loses one of them. What's she do? She cleans the house. She sweeps, she mops, she does till she finds it. For both of those, at the end of them, Jesus says there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 who don't need to repent. Now, remember the audience to whom he's speaking. He's speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, to the tax collectors, to the sinners, and to the teachers of the law. Two groups. Over here you have the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They would be the older brother. Over here you have the tax collectors and the sinners. They would be the younger brother. Jesus understands the audience he's speaking to, so he tells this story to allow both of them to see the truth in what he's saying. That the Father loves both. Can God the Father really love both? This means yes at Northside, this means no. Yeah. Can the Father really love both? Hey, if you participate, we get out a lot earlier, amen? So it's on you now. All right. So the Father can love both. Notice with me in verse 1 of chapter 15, he says, now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. That's this group. They're excited to hear Jesus. Yay, Jesus! But the Pharisees, that's the older brother, and the teachers of the law, they did what? You have a Bible with you? You got an app on your phone? What's it say? Complained, muttered, what else? Murmured, what else? Any other translations in the house? Grumbled. Grumbled, right? Can you understand that they were not saying, yay, Jesus? I don't know anything you're talking about. You ever heard somebody mutter before? Yes, you have. You've muttered driving down the road in your car about the guy next to you driving, right? Because can't nobody in Columbus drive but you. So we know what muttering is. And so you've got the group that's happy, and you got the group that's muttering, and there's Jesus talking to both of them. So let's pick up the story here. Going to pick up in verse 11. Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth. That is where the phrase the prodigal comes from. It means to squander or to waste. Have you ever squandered or wasted anything? This means yes. We've all squandered and wasted a lot of money, haven't we? We've squandered and wasted a lot of time, haven't we? We've squandered and wasted a lot of Sundays. Yeah, let's don't do that today. So he squandered everything that he had. He spent it. After he had spent everything he had, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him into the field to feed his what? Now, you young folks, y'all ever been around pigs? And I don't mean the guy sitting next to you at the cafeteria. I'm talking about pigs. You ever been around real pigs, hogs? Okay, you're going to see some good stuff today, then it's going to get sloppy up in here. He longed to fill his stomach. Am I making this up or is it in the Bible? He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. But no one gave him anything. Verse 17, when he came to his senses, don't you like that verse? I hope that happens for some today, right? It happened for me one day, June 1977. God took the blinders off my eyes. I could see that he was giving me grace and faith, and he allowed me to believe. And I came to my senses. It had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with the Father, right? And it's still, that's still the way it is. It has everything to do with the Father. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and filled with compassion for him, he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and he what? Ooh, he kissed that old dirty pig farmer. He kissed him. The son said to the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said, hush! Servants, quickly, bring the best robe, put it on him. Bring a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatty calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they began to what? Party down. We could play a song by Kool & the Gang right now and it would go along really well. For those old people, you know the song. For you young people, you're thinking, what in the world? Who's Kool & the Gang? All right. Jesus is describing these two boys to the two audiences, right? Over here you've got the sinners and the tax collectors. Over here you've got the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Older brother, younger brother. You can imagine what's happening in the dynamics there of those two groups. As one group, and the other, yay! It is a clear distinction between the two groups. So let's go back and let's talk about the younger son this morning. Let's talk about the older son tonight and examine those two, and let's just see what the Lord has to say to us about those. So let's look at, first of all, this younger son. Look at verses 11 and 12. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Now, can't you just imagine that the two boys, as they were growing up, let's say one was 10 and one was 14, they probably had the same bedroom. Any of you ever had two kids had to share a room? The travesty. We've abused our children. We made them share a bedroom, right? Okay. So here they are. They're growing up and they're laying in bed and they're talking at night. I shared a bedroom with two sisters. Shut your whining up. I know what tough is like. So you're laying there and you're talking, you're saying, you know, Johnny, when I get grown, I think I'm going to be an astronaut. Not me. When I get grown, right? Just kind of the bed talk, two boys talking there at night. And the young one said, you know what? When I turn 18, I'm out of here, dude. I'm sick of these rules. I'm only 10, but I am sick of being told when to go to bed, when to eat, when to brush your teeth, when, right? Anybody live in a house like that? Somebody told you what to do all the time? If you didn't, you should have. Somebody should have been in charge. It should have been the mom and dad. So here he is complaining about it already, and so he cannot wait for his 18th birthday. Right? You can think of somebody in your family just like that right now, right? You know somebody that's going to be this younger brother. And if there were several siblings, you might be one and they might be the other, and you've lived this thing. So at 18, he says to his dad, hey, Dad, give me my share of the estate. I want my money. Now, when do you normally get your share of the estate? When they die? So what's he really saying to his dad? I wish you were dead. Oh, man, won't you just go on and die? What's up with this? You're 55 years old. I don't see how you get around anymore. Remember being 18, thinking 50 was old? It's coming. I promise it's coming. So he says, total disrespect for his dad, sitting there at the table. Now the older brother's thinking, I can't wait for him to turn 18 and leave. It's going to be a good day. Because as soon as he says, "Dad, give me what's coming to me," Dad's going to say, "All right, kapow," and slap him across the mouth. Right? Now, none of you ever had corporal punishment in your house. But in my house, people spank me. Back in the old days, you could go down the street and get in trouble, and the neighbor would spank you and call your mama, and then she'd spank you when you got home. Can I get an amen? Now, these kids don't have any idea about that. They're saying, "Spanking? Oh, I've heard that. Let me Google it. What's that mean?" Right? We don't have a clue anymore. So the older brother's thinking, "Dad's going to pop him in the mouth. It's going to be a good day." But the dad does something unusual. So he divided his property. "Wait, wait, wait," says the older brother. "Divide your property? You going to give him what he asked for?" Doggone it, I knew I should ask first. But he doesn't, right? He's terrified. So the younger brother gets his money. Now, how much was it? In biblical times, it's usually about 10%, 90%. Older brother got the vast majority of the inheritance. Younger brother or siblings got less. But he still has a bunch of money. Not long after that. Now, can you say not long after that, like the next morning? Right? This was a plan, right? I mean, he didn't just happen into a pile of money. Dad happened to have some gold under the bed. He brought it out and he dumped it in his lap. He said, "Here, that's yours. That's what I've worked for all my life. You want it? You want me dead? Here, it's yours. Take it." He said, "Okay." Put it on his little sack, put it on his shoulder, right? Remember those guys used to walk around with those hobos? Thank you. Hobos, you've seen that. Put his stuff off. And where did he go? Did he leave Columbus and go to Phoenix City? Where'd he go? Where's it say? This goes faster if you help me. Where's he go? Distant country. Somewhere where they don't know my daddy. They don't know the name of Smith or Jones or Knowles or whatever your name is, right? Because when we used to leave the house, they'd say, "Now remember who you represent." Y'all never even heard that, have you? I mean, remember who we represent, because you represented the family name. Don't you dishonor this. So this young man got his stuff and he went to a distant country, way, way far away. And what did he do when he got there? Party. He said, "Guys, I don't know y'all, but I got money. Would you like to be my friend?" "Yes." "If you buying, we're there." And he began to party, and he partied, and he partied, and he partied, and he partied. And one day he stuck his hand down in his money bag, and guess what? Anybody ever stuck your hand in your wallet and said, "Oh my"? Opened mine the other day. Somebody said, "You got some money?" Opened it, said, blew out the dirt. Said, "You want some of that?" So you understand what it's like to be broke, and he got there. Isn't it amazing how God does that? Verse 14 says, after he had spent everything, not before, isn't God the God of timing? After he had spent everything, there began to be a famine in the land. You couldn't grow any more corn. You couldn't grow any more butter beans. You couldn't grow anything. There was no rain. With no rain, there was no food. So the food costs go up, and you're already poor. Anybody know what that's like? So here he is experiencing that. And so he decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get a J-O-B. I've been rich. I'm going to go back and get me a job. So he hired himself out to a citizen of that country. And he said, "Man, I can do anything. You just tell me what to do." He said, "All right, I want you to go out and feed my hogs." Have you ever fed hogs? Now, I've done it like 3 times in my whole life, so I'm an expert, okay? But my grandparents used to have those. You know, there's something unique about feeding hogs. If you've never done it, just Google it. Just watch it. Put it on YouTube. Just find out what it's not right now. But just find out what it's like. Well, maybe right now, but I might help you with the sermon. So here you are. You're going to see what's going on. And he sends him out to do that. And so that takes us to the second point in the sermon. We move from this son. We then move to the slop. Can you use slop as a point in a sermon? Yeah, right? Because it is slopping the hogs. Y'all remember that phrase? Dog, y'all like pulling teeth without Novocaine. Do you remember that phrase? Yeah, thank you. Hallelujah, we've arrived. So here we go. He sees what's going on. So he hires himself out to a citizen. He sends him out to feed these pigs. And day one was not bad. I mean, he's slopping hogs. Day two is not bad. He's slopping hogs. But after like day 12, can you imagine how hungry you are? Have you ever been 12 days without something to eat? I have not. I mean, I'm thinking about it right now, right? And we just ate supper last night, and I'm thinking, when's he going to get through so I can go eat some lunch? All right. So we know he's hungry because as he's pouring out the slop, and it's nasty. I mean, my grandparents lived in Hiawassee, Georgia. Anybody ever been to Hiawassee? You better look quick. You'll be through the town. You go to Hiawassee, we used to slop those hogs, and they said, you know, we're time to feed the hogs. I said, can I do it? You know how little kids are. Yeah, so I poured that bucket out, and I saw all that stuff we'd been having the last 3 or 4 days. Ooh, it was nasty. And you know what? Those hogs loved it. I mean, they're in there getting at it. And I'm thinking, well, in just a little while, we're going to kill them. I'm going to eat the ribs. Is it like meat? Oh, I don't think about that too long. Yeah. So here we are slopping hogs. And so this boy is slopping the hogs, and he is so hungry, he says, I wish I had some of that. I've never been that hungry, y'all. Never in my life have I been that hungry. But I have seen a lot of trash. I've picked up a lot of trash. We have a lawn care service, and you would not believe what people throw out on the ground. It'd be difficult for you to imagine. If you can imagine it, we've picked it up. So I grabbed the bucket out of the back of my truck, didn't Michael? Michael's seen this bucket. We use it every day. So you, when you get old, you can't bend over anymore. Anybody got one of these? This is how you pick up trash. When you're young, you just do that. You know, I do this now. I pick it up, put it in the bucket. Put it in the bucket. Don't tell Jerry I put a slop bucket up here in his pulpit. Is this being recorded? People throw out their trash cups, throw out their bottles, throw out their... All right. Throw out their cigarette butts, throw out their stuff. I mean, it's just trash, just on the side of the road. And this boy was so hungry that... Oh, hot dog. Ketchup, chicken. Oh, look, some used jelly packets. Man, this is a... Oh, and then he found it. I mean, he's eating the slop that the pigs were eating. Can you imagine that? You say, I'm imagining it right now. I'm watching you eat somebody else's slop. But it's really good. Y'all want some? Oh, heck, it's a good day. Man, that's good. Clean water, well, kind of clean water. Slop, bucket. Can you imagine being that hungry? And if I hadn't put that stuff in there this morning, I wouldn't have been that hungry. But you understand how just raw sometimes the Bible is, right? It just tells the truth, right? If you like it, fine. If you don't, fine. It's still the truth. And this boy was so hungry that he was willing to eat the slop that somebody else had already eaten, discarded, and now the pigs were eating. This was a bad day. But you see, the father, in giving him that money, letting him go to that distant country, letting him spend all that money in wild living, understood some things that the boy didn't get, right? Don't you know some things that your teenagers don't know? Yeah. You see, we know that it's a mean, cruel world out there, amen? That world does not care about you. They don't care if you sleep under a bridge tonight, right? They will ride by you and say, blessings, and go on to their house and eat some prime rib, and somebody else will be under the bridge. That's somebody's kids. We know that. We've seen that. We've experienced that. This dad knew what the lust of the flesh was, what the lust of the eyes, and what the pride of life was like, right? He knew the great three things that trip up all men. He saw that in his younger son. He could see all of them happening at the same time. You see, there's something about sin. Sin will take you further than you wanted to go. It will keep you longer than you wanted to stay. And it'll cost you more than you wanted to pay. Amen? It looks enticing on the front end. But sin, when it is conceived, brings forth death. That is the end of it. And the father saw all that in this young son. And he was missing it. I've got money. I'm young. I'm going to live forever. Let's go party. And here he is now out eating slop with the pigs, or at least desiring to eat their slop. You see, things had gone from good to bad to worse. So, in verse 17, it says this, when he came to his senses. That's a good verse. And I pray to God that he'll let you come to your senses. Because it's a God thing. When God allows you to see the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and know that you need it and gives you the faith to respond to it. Every man gets a choice. Make the right choice. When you understand it, believe it, that's his invitation for you to join him. So the young boy goes up to the pig farmer's door and he knocks on the door. Sir, I quit. I'm going home. I'm not feeding you hogs anymore. And the pig farmer said, boy, you stink. He said, if you was my boy, I'd turn the dogs loose on you. And he might have. And the young boy would have said to him at that point, but you don't know my father. You do not know my father. He is not like that. And can I tell you, your heavenly father's not like that. I don't care what you smell like today. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. The heavenly father still loves you like you are. Amen? That is a reason to celebrate. And we can tell everybody we know that same story. That is a reason to celebrate. Isaiah 65, 24 says, before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear them. Aren't you glad to know our God hears our prayers? This morning, millions, maybe billions of people have prayed around the planet, and God heard every prayer and understood every one of them. It confuses the dog out of me. Three people praying in a church at one time just messes me up. But God can hear billions of people and keep it straight because he's God, amen? So he hears you even when the words are still in your mouth. So we've seen this young son, we've seen the slop, but now let's look at the dad. And can I tell you that the story is really about the father? It's not about the older son. It's not about the younger son. It is about the father. Let's see what the father does. Join me in verse 20. So he got up and went to his father. Now he had practiced, right? He had this whole speech in his mind. What was his speech? Father, I know I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Would you just put me on the payroll? Would you just let me be a $7.25 an hour guy? I know that you've got enough food, y'all throwing it away every day, and I am starving to death. Would you just put me on the payroll? So he comes to him senses, he starts walking home. But it says here, while he was still a long way off, the father saw him and was filled with compassion. Can I tell you that every day that dad had walked to the end of the road at his house and looked down that long road. Probably could see a country mile. You know what that means, right? A long ways. It's a country mile. Look down that road. And every day there were people walking on the road. But do you know you can recognize somebody by how they walk? Right? If you've got more than one child, you see them walking around, you say, yeah, that's this one, that's that one. Just the way they walk. We have different habits. And so when he leaned out one day, he saw that walk. He realized, that's my boy. I've been praying for him. I've been giving him grace and mercy and love. I've been waiting for him to come home. And he's coming home. So what does the father do? The Bible says, saw him a long way off, and his father was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. So dad takes off. Now the servants are always around the dad, right? If he wants something, you've got to get it. He's the boss. And so he's standing, whoo, there's Johnny, and he takes off. He starts running, and so now you got a stream of servants running around behind him, right? They're all going down there. Where are we going? I don't know, but boss man's gone, so here we go. So they're all running down the road. He gets to him. And his son, true to his word, stands up and says, Dad, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I've sinned against heaven and against you. And his dad says, stop! Hush! Bring the robe. Bring the ring. Bring the sandals. Get the fatty calf. Don't you know the fatty calf was looking forward to this day? Get the fatty calf. We are about to have us a party. We're going to celebrate. This son of mine who was dead is alive. Who was lost is found. And the father grabs him. He wraps him up in his big, strong, loving arms and he pulls him close and he kisses that old stinky boy. That's the way God the Father did you one day, right? One day you realized you were lost and without Christ. And God invited you to come home. I don't know if you were in a church service. I don't know if you're in your living room. I don't know if you're at a youth camp. I don't know. But you remember where you were. I remember kneeling beside that bed and God showing up in that room. I remember that. That's the reason I'm still preaching today, 42, 43 years later. It's because God showed up one day. You don't have to have much of God. He goes a long way. He lasts like a whole lifetime, amen? And so here he is. He grabs him, he hugs him, he kisses him. That's what he did for you. And that's what he wants to do for everybody. They simply have to repent of their sins and trust in Christ alone. That's the plan of salvation, y'all. It doesn't get any easier than that. Jesus loves you and died for you. The Father sent him. So here's his Father. He runs to him. He grabs him. He kisses him. And no matter how dirty you are, no matter how dirty you are, you say, I don't know who you're talking to. You keep talking about being dirty. I'm clean. I'm talking about on the inside, right? Talking about all that, can I say crap in church? I'm talking about all that crap in there. I'm talking about all those lust of the eyes. I'm talking about all that pride of life. Don't you have enough pride in you to make you stink? Yes, you do. And it destroys us from the inside. And God still wraps you up in his big, strong, loving arms, pulls you close, and kisses you. He says, get the robe, get the ring, get the sandals. Kill the calf. We're going to have us a party. And he welcomes the boy back home. But he doesn't just welcome him as a servant. He welcomes him as a son. And according to the Bible, every time we're in a church service and somebody gives their heart to Christ and they come down the aisle, can I tell you that angels in heaven rejoice? They start a party. Now, we Baptists, we're not good at partying, right? Well, say, okay, I've got to clap now. Right? We're probably over here with the Pharisees and the, you know, those guys. I just don't know that boy. That boy was a sinner. Who's he think he is coming to our church? Your church! Don't you know this church belongs to God? He was here when you got here. He'll be here when you're gone. It belongs to him. And so he rejoices. There's a party in heaven. There's more rejoicing with all the angels. They're sitting on the edge of their seat. They're saying, today at Northside Baptist Church, I've got this person there. He's hearing the gospel. She's hearing the gospel. If they'll just repent and believe, guess what? Party time in heaven. Yay! Now, I went to Jordan. We know how to party. All right? I'll tell you if you do it right or not. But we ought to rejoice with that. It ought to be a celebration time. So let's get the party started. Amen? Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Lord Jesus, I wish I could say that I had cleaned myself up when I came to you, but that is not the truth. You welcome me as a stinking, dirty, unloving reprobate. But you welcomed me, and forever I will be eternally grateful. So, Lord, whoever is here, whatever lie the devil is telling them, if he's telling them they've been too far, they can't come home, God help them to see that's a lie. They can come home today. Would you give them the faith and the grace to believe? Would you give them the strength and the courage to come forward and confess? And, Lord, believe the gospel so that we might party together forever and ever in heaven. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in just a moment, we're going to stand. And as we do, I'm going to be here at the front. It would be my honor to introduce you to my friend, Jesus the Christ. Would you give your heart life to him today? Let's pray together. Let's sing together.